We'll hear argument now in the case of Nova Design Build against Grace Hotels. Mr. Spathis.
Good morning, Your Honor. May it please the Court. George Spathis on behalf of the appellants Nova Design Build and its principal, Himanshu Modi. This appeal concerns a threshold registration requirement for maintaining an action for copyright infringement.
An even more threshold requirement in this case, which the parties haven't addressed, and that's subject matter jurisdiction. I have some difficulty seeing why this is within the subject matter jurisdiction of the federal courts. It doesn't look like there's diversity of citizenship. The parties seem to have assumed that because a copyright is in the picture, there must be federal jurisdiction. There's a very famous case in the Second Circuit written by Judge Friendly, the TB Harms case, which says that's not true, that there's federal jurisdiction under the copyright laws only when the dispute concerns the copyright and not when the dispute concerns a contract between the parties allocating the intellectual property right. And we've followed TB Harms in this circuit. And this case looks very much like a dispute between the parties about who's entitled to the intellectual property right, which suggests that there is jurisdiction, if at all, only under 1332. Would you care to address that problem?
I don't think that this case is solely about who owns the intellectual property right. I believe there's a question, well, the issue that was...
Yes, there was a defense of invalid registration, but defense does not create federal jurisdiction. Matters in defense don't create the jurisdiction. The question is, did this suit arise under the copyright laws, or does it arise under the contract?
It arises...
That's the question.
I believe it arises under the copyright laws. I think you have a valid copyright and an infringement of that copyright. And
that's the very argument that TB Harms rejected. It's obvious you're not acquainted with that case.
I am not. This is the first time in the proceedings that the issue has come up. Let me continue then. The registration requires, among other...
Continue, but we may end up asking parties for supplemental briefs on the existence of subject matter jurisdiction. But
understood, Your Honor. Registration entails three things: submitting an application, paying a fee, and making a deposit copy, taking whatever the copyright work and actually giving it to the Copyright Office. And that third aspect is where what brings us to the court.
Your briefs are very contradictory on that point, because in one breath you say, yes, even though this unfortunate theft happened, we'd given the engineers a CD of all the forms, and we submitted them all to the city. We had hard copies of them, which makes me think, why is there even a problem? Why don't you just take the disk back and load it back onto the computer, and you're done? That's the easy part. Then on the other hand, there's testimony about, all sorts of time had to be spent and modifications given. I just can't figure out which of the two scenarios you're saying happened.
The disk that we're talking about, the CD, is provided to mechanical engineers, professional
structure. Right, what's on the CD?
So the disks start with just the floor plan layout, the architect's sort of layout.
So is that the layout that Holiday Inns gave you?
No.
That you aren't claiming any copyright in any way?
It's not. We did not give them the prototype CD. This was a completely original design that was generated by the plaintiff. And we gave it to the engineers so that they could add the engineering aspect, some of their calculations, some modifications.
I understand that. So why doesn't that take a second to reload onto your contract, onto your computer?
For the most part, the only aspect of reloading was that the disks were reloaded, and then he compared them to the actual drawings. And most of the changes were really those to the engineering drawings. I do think that...
So had the engineers changed what was on the disk?
The engineers add right, to...
So in other words, you didn't get the original thing that you'd given to the engineers back.
We got what we had given to the engineers back. What we didn't get back was the final version that the engineers had given us back. So whatever we had given them to make, to review and make edits to, we got back. What we didn't have was...
In the unedited form.
Correct.
And so why isn't that what you'd be claiming? I mean, because the reason this whole thing comes up, putting the T.B. Harms issue to one side, is really, in a sense, from what date could you measure any sort of infringement? Because if it's not until October, you know, when you finally file a certain design with the Copyright Office in October, but if that's the first time that has come to light, then nothing that went on before October is even pertinent, and there's no evidence that Grace Hotels ever saw what you filed in October.
They certainly saw the exact same floor plan.
Well, we don't know. I mean, they say, but there were a lot of changes by October. There's no evidence that Grace saw that before you filed it.
They saw the floor plan. What they didn't see is the actual drawings. But
well,
the only changes were to the signature block. Right? It no longer said Holiday Inn Express, Waukegan.
Oh, I see. I saw it.
And it just said Hotel Project 1.
It's very unclear. I mean, I just find this whole story very strange and unclear, and I can't quite figure out what gets recreated, what gets filed. And I also think that I'm not the only person who found this unclear. I'm not sure that before the district court judge you were clear in pointing out where this was really just a copy, not a reconstruction.
Well, the difficult thing that I've really wrestled with trying to grasp what the district court did is, on the one hand, they make reference to you had the original drawings, and then the next they say you didn't have the original drawings to make the to recreate your deposit copy.
Why didn't you just photocopy the original? I mean, I just don't get it. Look, back in the 18th century, people didn't have computers and flash drives and copy machines. They meticulously sat down and made a copy, and that was fine.
Which is why we have blueprints, that absurd creation process that was designed only for duplication.
And that's exactly what we retained. We had, I mean, I have a big
giant.
And
so
why didn't you file that? Right, I had exactly the same
question. Because part of it is we weren't claiming a copy. When you say file, you're talking about deposit copy?
As your deposit copy.
Okay. The fact is you're not claiming a copyright as to all of the things, right? So
fine. If you make a derivative work, you can file the whole derivative work with the Register of Copyrights, and you put in a disclaimer that says, we are not asserting copyright with respect to elements 1, 2, and 3, right? If I have a picture of the Mona Lisa and I draw a mustache on it, I can send it to the Register of Copyrights and say, I claim copyright only in the mustache.
Correct.
Perfectly straightforward.
And I suppose he could have done that. But he used the CAD files that were used to generate the final copy that went to the city, that was the basis for the city's approval, and then printed out another set. And the only changes was he took out some furniture, because we're not claiming a copyright as to the layout of a furniture in the room. He took off the signage for Holiday Inn. We're not suggesting that our placement of the signage is entitled to copyright. And what's been described as a distinctive window grill.
But in doing so, let's just say he muddied the record quite a bit to the point where, with a burden of showing that this really was the original design, I think what the district court was saying was that there was just no way to tell that this was really a copy as opposed to something with enough modifications that it should be regarded as a reconstruction.
Compare the drawings. I mean, we had them all in front of the district court.
You said that the engineers made more significant modifications.
And that's right. Now, none of the engineering drawings were submitted to the Copyright Office. We weren't claiming a copyright as to the engineering drawings, just as to the architectural drawings. If you compare them, that's what...
So the only changes that were made were taking out the Holiday Inn and the grill.
Yeah, I mean, if you look at the deposit drawings, I think nearly all of them, if not every one of them, is based on that first submission to the city on June, I think it was 19th. Most of the changes were to the pool afterward and some minor edits. They were really not very, very many significant edits after that first.
So the CAD that you gave the engineers to work on, was that the same that was submitted to the copyright office?
The CAD that we gave to the engineers, it was substantially the same. What my client did was he got that CAD file back, right? And then he took the hard copies that he had. And that's not in dispute anywhere, right? Even the Grace defendant's brief talks about the hard copy, talks about before he was able to restore the CAD files, he actually, to the city, gave a hand markup of one of the original hard copy drawings, right? And all of those are in the record. He took that hard copy and he looked at the CAD file and he made certain that every drawing on that CAD file was exactly as the hard copy was originally submitted. Because if you're going to submit more drawings to the city, you can't be changing the design. And the only ones that needed to be changed really were some of the things where the engineers had added. But at the end of the day, he walks through the four paragraphs in the statement of additional facts. It's consistent with his affidavit. It's consistent with...
What is the statute of limitations in this case?
I think the...
My question is there time remaining for your clients to send the original drawings to the Register of Copyrights, register the copyright, and then file an effective suit?
I don't know. I have not looked at the issue. I think...
Your clients... I don't understand why your clients didn't do that the day they received the district court's opinion, but... Can they do it now? That's the question.
I think to the extent an amendment could relate back, then there wouldn't be an issue.
Relation back, just...
I don't know. I think the action would be time-barred, but I don't know.
But you don't know.
I have reserved some time for rebuttal. I will. Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
May it please the court. I'm Daniel Keegan for the Pelley's Grace defendants.
Mr. Keegan, let me ask you this. This is not the first motel Holiday Inn is built. Why do you go to a separate architect to plan?
Technically, Your Honor, Holiday Inn... roughly, and there are many corporate affiliates, well, let's call them all Holiday Inn. They don't build these hotels. They license the franchisee, and then the franchisee contracts with architects and other people to build it according to Holiday Inn specifications. They need Holiday Inn approval that things are okay. It is possible Holiday Inn also has own and build some. I haven't focused on that area.
Well, I'm just saying, I'm sure there's a prototype somewhere out there that the Holiday Inn might have to figure out.
Your Honors, the appellants blame others for their own failings.
But, you know, I want to say, I mean, you make a lot of alternative arguments as well. I found it somewhat remarkable that the district court, I'm just looking at these... plans that are here in the back of the appendix, found that the version that was filed as the registration copy with the Copyright Office wasn't properly thought of as a copy as opposed to some reconstruction. It seems to me they've got a very strong chain of custody from the engineers' CDs to the hard copies, and the idea that in this world where we do so much by computer, it's impossible to have to refer to a hard copy seems preposterous. This isn't as though Mr. Modi or the people at Nova sat down and thought, well, I think I remember it was, you know, five windows or six windows or anything. They're looking at the original. They're copying, and they submit this to the registrar. Now, how much they get from that, how much is actually copyrightable in this derivative work, and how much is completely covered by earlier things is a different and perhaps more interesting question, but I find it hard to see why this wasn't a proper filing.
Your Honor, there are two issues that raises. You mentioned one prior. If there was a paper copy of the June drawing, which
that's
is
what
claimed,
he says he was looking
why wasn't
at?
That just submitted? And I believe after struggling with the assertions of the plaintiffs, the answer is because there was no clean original June copy.
And it so why couldn't Mr. Modi just reconstruct? He sees where he's whited things out or interlineated. He has the CDs. Why can't he reconstruct the exact copy that was given to Waukegan?
He perhaps could have, but he didn't.
Do we know? I mean, he says he did, actually.
Well,
I mean, he doesn't say Holiday Inn Express. Maybe he's just trying to make it clear he's not asserting that he has any derivative interest in the name Holiday Inn Express.
Two reasons, I believe. One, in discovery, that original document was never produced. I believe it was overwritten and changed. More importantly, even if he did have an original, and forgetting that it wasn't produced in discovery, and the engineer's CAD drawings were never produced in discovery, the copyright registration sued under only covers the new elements of the derivative work. The deposit copy is a seventh generation derivative.
And which is not to say that there's necessarily a flaw in the deposit copy. That's only to say, as your alternative arguments at the end of your brief present, maybe he just didn't get enough from this registration. That's a very different theory.
There are many faults with plaintiff's argument. Those are two of them, Your Honor. One is
the district court judge perhaps decided this case on a ground that wasn't a particularly good one.
This court, Your Honor, is able to affirm on any basis in the record. We've submitted there at least six bases that support affirmance.
Is the essence of this case that Mr. Modi and Grace Hotels, that there's a claim that you're infringing his copyright when you went forward with the plans that they had developed?
They are saying despite the settlement, despite the accord and satisfaction, and if you confuse all the drawings.
I know the despite, but okay. Is this a claim for copyright infringement?
That is one of their claims, yes, Your Honor. And that's the one up on appeal for copyright infringement.
Okay.
And one of the issues is what does the registration
And so one
cover?
Of your defenses is, no, we didn't infringe because we were licensed, and no, we didn't infringe because we said, I understand all that.
Yeah. And no, we did not infringe because the copyright registration only covers the new elements in the derivative work, and that is the facade without Holiday Inn and the window grill treatment. And we didn't do that.
You didn't use those elements.
Correct.
And your accord and satisfaction, how much evidence of that went in the record?
More than enough to support it, Your Honor. Payments, retention of payments, the initial dispute on whether all the invoices were appropriate or not, that was a difference of $10,000. It was settled. It was written. Money was kept. We have the waiver that says we're not interested in anything. So there's more than sufficient evidence there. Two, accord and satisfaction. I believe the major arguments of the other side were forced. Kaplan and other cases say wanting money is not the kind of force that invalidates a settlement agreement.
The original contract was $50,000?
$50,000 plus Grace defendants paid, actually Grace paid $15,000 more so they could be free and use a new architect. And in terms of the question of what was meant by use, I think it's instructive that the plaintiffs themselves, a moment, in their use of the word use with the bank, CIT, they grant bank permission to use for constructing the hotel in case there's a default by Grace, and I think the court would find that a bank would not want to be hidebound to only build a monument to the architect, but would be able to make reasonable accommodations and changes in the drawings to finish the economically feasible structure. The question can also be asked, what did Nova sell for $65,000? That site for the CIT Bank is a Defendant's Exhibit 13, Docket 158. Nova paid $15,000 extra to be able to use its own architect to finish the building, and then it paid Infuse $50,000 to make new drawings. This is clearly no free ride, no extra profit. There was no error in the district court's opinion. Moreover, and more technically, Nova's responses, Docket 199-1-26, to Grace's facts, Docket 156, did not properly deny Grace's facts and were deemed uncontested. Most of plaintiffs' quote additional facts, and it's Docket 199, page 26-32, did not counter Grace's facts. Most of the assertions were directed to show Nova's drawings were not identical to the HIE prototype and that the Infuse lines drawings shared similarities with Nova drawings. This is an expected result when they are both derived from the same predicates, the HIE prototype and the Grace development drawings, as well as the Jowalt Hamilton floor plan.
It gets back to my initial question to you about the prototype. How detailed is this prototype that Holiday Inn uses to say you, it has to meet these particular requirements?
It is a modular prototype designed for mixing and matching, moving the pieces around. One of the exhibits has examples of it. It shows basic room layouts, and in our brief we identify that Mr. Modi uses virtually the same layouts in one, as I remember, towards the left in one of the larger rooms. Both Holiday Inn and Mr. Modi have extra bathroom facilities in a larger room.
Like
they specify and provide doors, bathrooms,
so
furniture.
So it's the interior use of the space, circulation patterns, and that sort of thing.
Interior use of the space, modular rooms, exterior views,
exterior
details of what the windows should look like. One could build a Holiday Inn in terms of what they provide in terms of the copyright areas. Again, there is even accounting for the... to the district court, the plaintiff cited to, quote, response statement. But finally to this court, it changed to a less confusing, less deceptive, quote, additional facts label. That's at this court's docket 7, page 14, note 5, page 5, note 1. And only in the reply to this court does it attempt to explain that the citations are to the additional facts. Even accounting for the fact that the citations of the facts are often off by one, there is no evidence of any original unchanged June 06 drawing. Plaintiff's argument without citation to fact and evidence were properly discounted by the court. And as the recently decided Costello-Condisco case, 18th April, argument is not a substitute for facts supported by evidence. It's necessitated by Rule 56. The court has discretion to rule on summary judgment without reliance on newly raised arguments in the reply. More importantly, by their own admission, appellants materially changed the deposit copy from their earlier drawings. They made that decision. It may have been from a misunderstanding of copyright law.
Why is it a material change to delete Holiday Inn Express from the top?
And with the window grill. I believe the example of the mustache is quite appropriate. As plaintiffs cite in Feist, the standard for originality.
But they couldn't have claimed the window grill anyway, I assume. Isn't that part of the copyrighted Holiday Inn Express?
Well, they've
module?
Claimed many things as their original that aren't theirs, including their dependents.
Well, but isn't the grill, you focused on the grill, isn't that already there in the Holiday Inn?
The Holiday Inn grill has a circle in the center and
right.
Two
and
squares
wasn't that
on the
in the
their
original
grill
prototype?
That they changed has parallel lines. It is a difference that makes a material difference. It would be as copyrightable for that little element, and that is all that is covered by their registration. That and the facade, it changes the appearance. The copyright test is substantial similarity. And by, for whatever reason, choosing to make the changes, what they filed is not identically similar. They make the same mixture and mixing up of which drawings, which they didn't clarify to the court below till we pointed it out. To this court, I believe it's issue 6, they say that the deposit copy is the same as the final August drawings. And they aren't the same. One's about 120 pages, and the other's about 34. So although they say it's the same, they aren't the same, and they provide no evidence to the court in which the court can evaluate what that original copy was. They don't provide it. Calling a dog's leg.
Counsel, suppose what the plaintiffs now do is send the Register of Copyrights copies of the original written plans. Do they have time to file a new lawsuit based on that?
The statute of limitation copyright is 3 years, Your Honor. Moreover, I believe all...
Statute of limitations for breach of contract.
I haven't researched that one, Your Honor.
Longer, usually 10 years.
Okay. It would be supplemental if they don't have the copyright. The breach of contract, if there were merit to it...
They have to sue in state court, but I'm trying to figure out whether they still can sue.
I believe all their claims would be precluded because they didn't bring them in this action, and they are all significantly related to it.
That depends if this action's resolved on the merits or not, because if we decide it should be dismissed jurisdictionally, it's not on the merits.
They could try again. I believe they would have significant difficulties with several of the alternate grounds besides the copyright. Just for a starter, it seemed to me easiest and most efficient to deal with it in terms of the settlement and the court and satisfaction. The court below chose at different grounds, all of which I believe are supported by the record.
Are those prototype of Holiday Inn the copyright?
Yes, Your Honor, and we cite that in the brief.
And they give permission then to use it as was done in this case.
There is permission for what Grace defendants did. There is not permission to register, and there's a significant difference with the plaintiffs had trouble dealing with, I gather, a significant difference between owning a copyright and having the right to register. Thank you, Your Honor.
Thank you, Counsel. Anything further, Mr. Spavis?
To respond to Your Honor's question, the prototype does have a copyright. It also states, and this is in our original statement of facts, these drawings are prepared for the use of the owner franchisees and their architects and engineers as representatives. They can't be used for construction. They're not site appropriate. All of the disclaimers. Your Honor, I'm not sure how there could have been confusion. I filed two statements, my own statement of material facts in support of my own Rule 56 statement of material facts in support of my own motion, and a response to their statement and statement of additional facts. I call them the statement and the response statement. I didn't ask anybody to guess what I was using. First footnote says the references to the response statement is to the statement of additional facts to which there are. So there was no there should have been no confusion. I can't. If counsel says he was confused, I apologize. But no reasonable person could look at that brief and say, I have no idea what he's talking about. The notion that I would cite to paragraphs in his statement, which he's asking the court to buy into, is frankly absurd. Second, counsel talked about the the changes to the window grills and to the removal of the sign. There are 35 pages of drawings. We only submitted the architectural drawings. That's why we didn't submit 114 drawings. It was just my client's sort of layout, the layout and floor plan designs. That's all we submitted to the Copyright Office. That's all we sought a copyright for. The fact that three of the drawings, we took the window grills off of, because the only ones that's relevant to are the exterior elevations. Three of the 35 drawings have it. Certainly doesn't mean that there are material differences to all of the drawings. The only difference to the other drawings, some furniture was removed from the rooms. Again, no one's claiming a copyright as to where you place a bed. The name change here. The drawings were materially the same.
I think it's unlikely that we will be making factual findings about similarity. I've got one completely distinct question that perhaps I should have raised earlier, which is, why isn't your client's work covered by the work-for-hire clause in the Copyright Act?
Number one, he was not an employee. Number two, the
contractor.
He's an independent contractor, and the contract allocated the ownership between the two parties.
So we're back to contract.
The
case is taken under advisement, but the court would appreciate it if both parties would file within 14 days questions addressing whether subject matter jurisdiction exists in this case under the approach of T.B. Harms against LSQ.
Thank you, Your Honor.
The case will be finally taken under advisement when those supplemental memoranda are received. Our next case for argument this morning is Moore against Vital Products.